To recap, on the 27th of June, which was a Monday, we sent out 7 vaguely addressed postcards. Some of them we were banking on. Most of them we did not expect to get there. 3 out of 7 have been delivered. One lady that I spoke to was Jesus' daughter. And it's not looking good, Jesus' daughter.
Well, Jay, what's the story?
Well, I don't think it's good. Fionnuala, I know, didn't get the chance to speak to Jesus' daughter the first time, so we have to fill her in.
I'm honoured now, Jesus' daughter. It's lovely to chat to you.
And you, too.
Do we ever find out Jesus' daughter's own name? Is that allowed? Are we allowed?
No, I think... Are you too emotional to tell us your first name, or would you like to proceed?
Whatever, I don't mind.
Okay, Jesus' daughter.
I can disclose.
Yes, please disclose your first name.
It's Katrina.
Katrina, how are you?
Sure, listen, I'm only devastated. No sign of this postcard at all.
Now, we want to refute the accusations that we didn't send the postcard at all. There's video and photography proof of me actually putting it into the postbox. We want to put that point on record. Do you accept that?
Right. Okay, we'll go with that, so, yeah.
So the thing was, you got involved on behalf of your dad. And sorry, your dad aware of this at all?
I didn't actually tell him, no.
Well, look, you spared him the disappointment of not getting
his
letter. Yeah.
Yeah.
To remind us, the full address was Jesus' daughter. What else?
I think we just put outside Monastrevin.
Because when I was speaking to you last, Katrina, aka Jesus' daughter, I was not very confident, but then you changed my tune because you were like, no, it'll get to me.
Yeah, no, I was really, really sure it would. And you know what? I think if the postman had come across it, he would have got it to me. So I'm blaming the sorting staff.
We didn't go into this now trying to put anyone under pressure, arguing they're very busy people, they're doing Trojan work.
Jesus' daughter, we're not here to point fingers. Come on.
I have visions of this postcard arriving like mid-September, just out of the blue.
We will keep in contact with you, just in case that actually happens. I feel weird calling you Katrina now, because I know you as Jesus' daughter.
Yeah, it's just not the same, is it?
It really isn't. Do you think it is worth... No, I was going to say sending a follow-up. Maybe we check in with you in September. If there's nothing there, we try for round 2.
Do it, absolutely.
Look, I love how involved you got in this, certainly playing along with the spirit of it. We very much appreciate it. And we hope all your other orders, postcards, deliveries, everything else arrive on time and in good condition.
So do I.
You haven't made any online orders by just putting Jesus' daughter since this, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
but
good.
You know what? It's very funny because I was talking to one of my friends and she had sent me a card and she'd sent it to a few friends and I'm the only person that didn't get it. So it's very interesting.
Is there something more at play here?
Mm-hmm. I thought we were closing this today, but have the doors been blown wide open? Who knows? Who knows? Look, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking part in the silliness. We won't say goodbye.
No,
we'll say we will chat later.
Yes, definitely. Brilliant.
Jesus' daughter, a.k.a. Katrina, outside Monastrevin, Gurumila Mahagat.
Right, thanks a million.
Shlan Lat, Jesus' daughter. I can't call her Katrina now. It just... does something silly to my brain. I will always know her. Even if I see her out in the street, I'll be like, is this a daughter? How are you getting on? Did you get that postcard? No? All right.
So with that, we shut the door.
Door's closed.
Yeah, on the vaguely addressed letters. Again, a thank you to comedian Mr. David O'Doherty for inspiring this unknowingly and unwittingly with his vaguely addressed received letter that he got a little bit earlier on in the year. And he talked about it on his podcast with Second Captains and it was very, very entertaining. So thanks to him for inspiring it, but thanks to you for getting involved and sending in such fantastically vaguely addressed letters, addresses even, that we very much enjoyed.
7 were sent out. The 3 that were delivered was the Tipfelde building the new house in Tina, the girl with the pet chickens and the Pearsons, Nabby Leakes, also the man who collects the collection at Mass, Parish Buncrana. The 4 that didn't get delivered, you just heard from Jesus' daughter, the Stone Mad Cycling Family, Kilkenny City, Barry the big sheep farmer and nobber. He didn't get his postcard. And the young lad that used to sell eggs on the Chim Road a few years ago. Door closed?
Firmly.
Homer Simpson and Eamon Ryan seem to have a lot more in common than we could have anticipated before last night.
Mr. Eamon Ryan. Mr. Eamon Ryan.
What?
By the way, for clarification, so that the Green Party don't send a solicitor's letter, that is mixed and it's not exactly what happened. But yes, Eamon Ryan had a bit of a sleepy, nighty, schnoozy schnooze within in the Dáil.
A lot of commentary on Twitter. Some people lambasting Eamon Ryan. Some people...
There are people on Twitter, and it's all they do. They're professional criers. They're sitting there waiting for something to happen. So outside of the world of Twitter, I'm like, Twitter isn't real, but it's still... incensed people.
Oh, I mean, people were just giving out. Oh, he's there. He's earning so much money and that role is such an important issue that they were voting on, which it was, to be fair. So, look, you have both sides and then you have the people who say, well, look, he's had a very hectic schedule in the last few weeks and it's high pressure and he obviously didn't
but
choose
Eamon
to fall
Ryan
asleep.
Does himself no favours. Like, honestly, seriously, some of the stuff he's come out with. Please, get a PR person, Eamon Ryan, about... villages sharing cars and planting flowers in boxes and bringing back the wolves. Fair enough. All those points individually. You could go, right, you do have a point, Eamon Ryan, but Jesus, would you cop on to yourself and get your point across better? And then to fall asleep in the Dáil? No hope, son.
I say this as a woman who there's very few places I can't sleep. Like, I would nod off at the drop of a hat, given half a chance. And I do feel it's the opportune moment. I feel we talked about this a good while ago and that it sparked some interesting conversations. But for the day that's in it, we want to know the strangest and or most inappropriate places or situations in which you have fallen asleep.
Mr. Eamon Ryan.
What?
Interesting places that you've fallen asleep, not necessarily on the job, but everyday scenarios. People are coming forward and as always, people will start a sentence with, oh, I used to know a fella, or I used to know a girl. I know a fella that used to fall asleep on the dance floor in Mantra Castle Bar with a drink in his hand. Standing up, of course. I have seen that phenomenon.
Wow.
I have seen people straight, I don't know how they do it. They're standing straight up, usually with a drink in their hand. Dead to the world in a nightclub.
It defies physics. Rog from Letterkenny says, I fell asleep in the barbers. Was one person in front of me. There's about three behind me. Barber woke me up and then it was just me in the shop. So clearly I'm quite asleep. When you say that, Rog, I, in my time, have fallen asleep in the hairdressers. And it is quite embarrassing.
Getting your hair done.
What it was at the time, the hairdresser was just like, oh, will you just go over and... wait at the sink there and I'll be over to you. So dealing with another customer, I lay back and I put my head like into the groove in the sink that kind of holds you, and I was just really tired and I fell asleep and woke with an awful fright, because when you fall asleep somewhere you're not supposed to, you get an awful land when you wake up. So Rog, feel your pain.
And that was sober. Imagine if you went out for the night and woke up in a strange house looking at the ceiling and not knowing where you were. We all know that feeling, don't we? Ash, you had somebody fall asleep on a job.
I had my mother-in-law asleep during the ceremony along with two friends.
Clarify, what ceremony was this?
My wedding ceremony.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I know. She sleeps, but the woman, she sits down anywhere, it doesn't matter where it is, and she's asleep. So that's the normal for her. But yeah, it was the cotton timer.
Were you offended by any chance?
No, I thought so. The ceremony was pretty long. We had two ceremonies in one. So, yeah, it did go on for a while. We had my husband's Chinese, but we had a Portuguese ceremony followed by an English ceremony. So, I don't blame them.
And now, did you notice during the ceremony that she was asleep, or was it only after?
It was only when I got the photos from the photographer that I noticed. Yeah.
God, this is fantastic. And okay, so you clearly sensible, pragmatic, you're like, it's not worth falling out over. Did you ever bring it up to her and be like, come on now?
No, she has no English. She's Chinese. Oh, we can't communicate anyway. But she's like, the whole holiday, the whole time we were there for 2 weeks, we brought her into a restaurant, she was sleeping our dinner, she was asleep in the place of food, everything. So It was just normal.
She wasn't used to the heat in... Was it in Portugal the wedding ceremony was?
She's used to the heat. She's from China.
All right.
She's used to the heat. That's an excuse.
Well, I haven't been in China, right? So I'm trying to make excuses for this poor woman falling asleep. Apologies. Ash, that is amazing. I don't know if we'll be able to top that today. You have the video and the photos to prove it. I'm glad that you are so pragmatic about the situation. It's not worth falling out over. You still got married. So that's the main thing.
We still got married, yeah. We sure did. It was a long ceremony. God, that time they wanted the ground to swallow me up. It was embarrassing, but we got through it.
Well, look, and that is the main thing. Listen, thank you for giving us that gem of a story.
Thanks very much.
Ash, thank you so
Take
much.
Care. Bye.
Thank you, Ash. Big time. Ash and Cavan. I've been making jokes about this, hoping that there'd be more tourists in the country, that they'd be confused when we would say, please stand for the national anthem and this is what plays, but we're sincerely hoping that if there are tourists in the country, they've self-isolated for the adequate period of time and they're not importing cases. We like the imports, but not the COVID.
Isn't it weird that we've gone so far from... Oh, come over and come over. We'll welcome you and
Can
be great.
La Falcha.
Can I say, this is not a, you know... What's the word? Witch hunt, I think, is what I'm looking for. It's not what we want to be. It's just nearly asking for a bit of common sense at the moment. Because, yes, tourism is very important. And Ireland and many parts of Ireland rely on tourism, but... Well, people's health is more important at the moment.
We're just afraid of a second wave, okay?
That's it. Can I sit down now?
You might.
Yeah.
We told you yesterday we were doing this. Because the locator forms, let's be frank, they're not working. And those that fill them out, 6 out of 10? Is it 6 out of 10 answers the phone or 6 out of 10 does not?
Don't have that figure off the top of my head, but it was definitely flagged in the last couple of weeks that a significant number of people were just not answering the call that was being placed to check that they were saying where, or sorry, that where they said they were self-isolating, that they were actually staying there. So yeah, you do have to fill in the passenger locator form and state where you quarantine for 14 days when you arrive into Ireland. That is a legal requirement. But the 14-day quarantine itself is not actually a legal requirement. So that's where the fear is that many people just aren't following it. And again, that those same people or many people aren't answering the phone calls to check that they are where they said they'd be.
That's why we asked you, what would be more effective between ourselves and yourself? This is what we came up with.
Excuse me, sir. Could you and your family come with me, please? And put these on?
It's my goddamn right not to wear a mask.
Well, it's my goddamn right that you aren't a feckin' Egypt while you're in my airport.
Yes, ma'am. Can I just get the locator form and let's get this over with?
We have scrapped the locator form.
Oh, wow.
People were filling out the form, but not bothering their arse to self-isolate. Instead, they doubled down. They made sure they poured into restaurants and businesses without masks. They wouldn't answer the phones. So now the choice is yours. Pick from the list what you will complete in full, and then you can enter the country.
2,000-word essay on why the Irish love the Late Late Show.
And then they're going to go, okay, have you done any good at all, Ireland, right? Do you know what I mean? And we're going to go, have you got any money left? Okay, how about your soccer? The soccer Ireland? The soccer, you must be good at soccer.
What in the holy name of St. Lucifer is this? What else is on the list?
There's a CD here, Daddy. If you listen to it in full, we enter Ireland.
Nathan Carter's greatest hits. Let's give this a go. Holy Mary, Mother of God, what is this? My ears, they bleed. What else is on the list?
The slang translation test, Daddy. You only need to get 50%.
The shift. What the hell is the shift? Is this to do with tectonic plates? Hey, lady, can you use this in a sentence, please?
We were shifting and drifting.
Tectonic plates it is. Slang too. I'm as shook as a hand at mass. What the god darn is that? Slang 3. I took a gander at the Wayne's down the bottom field and be Jesus. They were sucking diesel, turning the turf.
I need an answer, please.
You want the final answer? We're going home.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Far more effective than the locator form, although that accent leaves a lot to be desired and a lot to be worked on. We did not expect to be talking about leaving certs today.
No, we really didn't. So obviously it was yesterday evening when it emerged that the calculated grades, the awarding of those and letting students know how they got on, the students who had accepted that they would take a calculated grade, they'd have to wait until the 7th of September to actually find out. So we'll go straight to, I suppose, the source of who's affected by this, who is looking into it, trying to figure out what this all means for students. Deputy President of the Irish Second Level Students Union, Luke Casterly, a guy we've talked to on a number of occasions about different Leaving Cert developments. But Luke, what is the latest situation?
Yeah, so the Leaving Cert results have been delayed until September 7th, and then the first CO offers will be out on the 11th. So it's pushed out by about 3 weeks, when initially we were told that we'd get the results around the same time as normal in August. So I suppose it's very disappointing for students. I think a lot of us are rightfully frustrated that it's going to be pushed out that far. But as well as that, there's a lot of frustration about how we found out about this development through a media leak rather than official communication from the minister or the department. So I think people kind of feel that they weren't prioritised and they weren't consulted or listened to properly before they made this decision, and it was just kind of leaked to the media before we could find out properly and digest this. So lots of frustration about, and rightfully so.
Luke, don't take this personally or offence to this, but we were hoping we wouldn't be speaking to you again this year, that everything would go smoothly, and I'm sure you would be happy enough not to be talking to us about another delay.
Yeah, I think the last time I spoke to you, we thought that was the end of it and there'd be no more of this uncertainty, but I think the word uncertainty is cropping up again, and it's not a word we wanted to hear again, but unfortunately that's the position we're in. Look, pragmatically speaking, you know, this delay is to let the national standardisation process go ahead. And that's a very important process for us Leaving Cert this year, because it means that, you know, our results will kind of stand up to scrutiny like previous years. So there's a bell curve, there's statistical analysis that goes, there's a lot of work into it to make sure it's done right. So I suppose, you know, being realistic, being pragmatic, it is a good thing that this isn't being rushed and it's being done right. At the same time, this pushes out further, and it means that for a lot of students, we'll only have 2 or 3 weeks to plan to go to college once we get our CAO offer. And that's very tough for a student who doesn't know what part of the country they'll be going to college in when they get that result. So it's very tough.
From the Irish Second Level Students Union point of view, would you now be looking to maybe campaign in a way to see if there's any room for compromise, maybe to even bring it forward by that it was only a week delayed or 2 weeks delayed, not the full 3 weeks? Or where do you go from here as a union?
Yeah, unfortunately, the decision is made at this stage, so that'll be it. But I suppose our priority now will be to seek clarity on those issues, like, you know, accommodation. Will accommodation be available for students who don't have it yet and won't know where they'll be living until the 11th of September? But as well, there's a cohort of students who are going to, they hope to go to college to countries outside of the UK and Ireland. So Netherlands, for example. We heard from a lot of students who said they needed their results by the 31st of August to be able to go to college in the Netherlands, for example. And that's the cohort of students who need answers. So we'll be campaigning on those matters to seek clarity as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's very tough for anyone that is trying to negotiate with another country and going, well, you don't fully understand the situation that is happening here. I can only imagine trying to go through that. Any idea why you weren't brought into the loop? Are you totally in the dark?
Yeah, look, it is very disappointing that there was no consultation or engagement with the stakeholders. And look, it's not just the students, it's the principals and teachers and parents as well. This was just leaked last night in the media, and then the minister made an announcement. We have no idea why. I'm not sure. It probably wasn't supposed to come out in that way, and it was leaked from the department. But I suppose it's best now to just go ahead and try and seek clarity and try and get answers and fair solutions for those people who need them right now. It's disappointing, it's frustrating, but we need to keep going and working on, from our perspective, getting the best results for students.
Luke Cassidy, he's the Deputy President of the Irish Second Level Students Union. I meant that when I said to him, no offence to your son, but did not want to be speaking to you about the Leaving Certs once again today. Results delayed until September. Sincerely hope that they don't delay them again after the 7th of September.
You'd really hope so.
Oh, there'd be holy war.
You know, the planning and having to sort stuff out, and there's so much up in the air. You need to be taking certainty where you can get it. But as he said, I suppose it's a matter now of hopefully that everyone else that's involved in the second level to third level transition process will make allowances for this if they can, that things can be worked out, and that ultimately the level of stress and pressure on students is reduced.
087 110 207, how are you feeling? Have you had accommodation booked? Is that in jeopardy? Are you looking? Can you get any place? Snapchat, this is iRadio. We'd like to hear from you. Also known as the Discovery Channel song on the Lift on iRadio. Joe McHugh, come back, all is forgiven. I had someone really not taking the news today well at all. Also, this is a question for anyone that is in third level education, college or university. Do you have any idea what the hell is going on with admissions? Registering for the first time, going back for second year or third year? What is the deal? I know this is a very open-ended question, but I'm like, we are hearing about the Leaving Certs, but do college and university students know what the hell is going down in September?
So what was reported yesterday, Simon Harris, who of course now is the new higher education minister, what he was saying yesterday was that a plan on how facilities can reopen safely is to be published in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Now, it was acknowledged that that guidance, because it will be guidance, it'll be just like, here's what maybe you can do, will have to be adapted across different universities, ITs, third level institutions and across courses, because it has to be adapted. You know, there's a big difference from what someone who's studying medicine might need to be adapted for them, and then a course where maybe it's not as intensive. There's a lot of different accommodations to make. So waiting on that plan to be published for how higher education facilities can reopen safely. But yeah, again, buzzword clarity, that's all they want.
The reason I'm putting it out there is because I'd heard very little about it, and my little brain wanted to know more knowledge on the situation. Just a couple of points on third level educators, universities going back to college, meant to be going into third year engineering in Galway, only in one day a week for the first semester, so I'm going to commute. I feel like SH1T, just want Baron Clather back. Sad face.
It's tough times. The college experience is unique if you're, for most people anyway, and very enjoyable.
It's very unique this year, let me tell you that. I'm from Athlone, Westmead, studying in UL, Limerick. Got an email the other day that said that we'll only be back every 3 weeks, meaning the college will start online the 28th of September. They're making the point, what do you do about accommodation if you're only in for 1 week every 3 weeks or every 4 weeks? How do you book a place going, I only want this place 1 week a month? So they're making the point they're going to have to commute from Athlone to Limerick, rush hour traffic, jam-packed weeks when they are in there. It's, pardon my French, a balls.
It really is. I know for some of the campus accommodation providers, obviously the university accredited and all that, there are calls for them, and I'm sure some of them are taking measures that they will be flexible with the accommodation they provide and say to people, look, yeah, you might only need it one night a week, two nights every couple of weeks, whatever it is. Obviously, where maybe further issues might arise is the private rented accommodation sector. Can you get certain landlords to be flexible? I do not envy students. You would hope.
I'm on my knees praying that the landlords will be flexible.
That there will be, and you know, some of the landlords might have offspring that are in the situation themselves. They could understand what's going on.
They're probably charging them rent. Double the rent. You're my offspring.
Anyone with all the one brush.
I have paved the way for you for the first 18 years, and now you shall pay me back. And it is time for the pun day game. I give you the setup, but I didn't give you the punchline. How do you get a farm girl to like you?
Many ways. Could be complicated. I don't know.
Simpler than you think. How do you get a farm girl to like you? You a tractor.
I knew it was going to be something to do with tractors. I'm sorry. I love it.
Shall I continue?
Oh, go on.
I have two cat jokes today.
Cat jokes?
Yeah, C-A-T.
Okay. Right. I like not cat melodian, actual jokes about cats.
Well, they're probably cat melodian
right,
as well.
Okay.
Let you be the judge of that. What do you call a pile of kittens?
No, I don't know.
A mountain. A mountain. What's a cat's favourite colour?
No. There's no colour that sounds like meow, is there? No, I don't know.
No, there is, but there is purple.
Stop it!
You're annoyed at yourself that you didn't get that.
Yeah, no. They were cat jokes and they were cat jokes, if you get my meaning. I actually had a bit of an incident over the weekend, Dave. I didn't mention it earlier on.
Oh, sorry.
It was not terrible, but a load of books fell on me. They actually kind of hurt my arm when they fell on me, but really, I've only got my shelf to blame.
Oh, wow. Very
yes.
good.
Oh, I got you.
Say shelf
one.
Again.
Shelf.
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 To blame.
I think I had to make it. I had to do a bit of a Sean Connery on that one.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes Sean Connery.
I didn't even know you
Boom.
Had a Sean Connery
Boom.
Joke.
I'm telling you, if we tried to plan this, we would make a hames of it.
Oh, this is amazing. I love it.
I said I would finish on two knock-knock jokes
right.
today.
Go on.
That was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is coming. You can give us yours as well. 087-1102-107. That is for text or WhatsApp voice notes. Knock-knock.
Who is there?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears who?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears who?
Oops, I did it again.
Oh, for God's sake. Get out.
Right, chat you after. This is Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again on iRadio. I'm just leaving my headphones there. I think I did it again. Weekdays from 2:50. iRadio.